Okay, the first set of questions that we have are really towards the SEC, so I'm going to take a crack at answering them. Okay. The first one is, has the Site Evaluation Committee determined what specific information Northern Pass must still submit under the new SEC rules to comply with those rules? What's happened is the Site Evaluation Committee actually promulgated rules that have specific requirements in them. And we have, Northern Pass is on notice of what those requirements are, and we've told them to provide that information no later than January 22nd, 2016. So they have to go into the rules. Anything that they've not already included in their application that is now required by the rules will have to be provided to the committee. And then there are two questions about other applications before the Site Evaluation Committee. One says, are there any other applications in front of the SEC that have the potential to create over 2,000 construction jobs? And the other one is, are there currently any other energy proposals or applications in front of the SEC that could have a positive impact on New Hampshire ratepayers? Well, I'm not going to make a determination about how many jobs any particular application might create or whether the impacts or benefits are positive or negative. However, presently pending at the Site Evaluation Committee, we have four other projects. Not all of them, the applications haven't been filed in all of them. There is a wind project slated for Antrim, New Hampshire, which is a 28 megawatt wind facility. There is the Merrimack Valley Reliability Project, which is a transmission line project that runs from Scobie Pond Substation here in Londonderry down to Tingsboro, Massachusetts, and that's a reliability project. There is the Seacoast Reliability Project, which is another transmission line. And these are all on our website, by the way. Application has not been filed in the Seacoast Reliability Project yet. And then there is the Northeast Direct, or the Tennessee Gas Pipeline, which we have a docket open for that, and that is pending before the committee, although we do not yet have an application. So we have two other applications before the committee right now, including Northern Pass, and then we have two other ones that are in their pre-filing status. As whether any of them will contribute more than 2,000 construction jobs or have a positive or negative impact, I can't really decide that. That's a decision that the committee will make, and I can't make that decision for the committee. The next question for the SEC is as follows, quote, given that there are many landowners who question Northern Pass's right to use their land for their project, does the SEC's written decision to accept the application as complete mean that the SEC has determined that Northern Pass, in fact, has all legal rights they need to build the project as proposed? And the answer to that question is no. The acceptance of the application is only that there is sufficient information for the Site Evaluation Committee to move forward with the application. The next question actually, this is addressed to both the Site Evaluation Committee and the company, so I'll give you a chance after I answer the Site Evaluation Committee's portion, Mr. Quinlan. The federal draft EIS says that New Hampshire will use approximately 10% of the power delivered by Northern Pass, but will sustain 100% of the environmental impacts. Given that New Hampshire is a net exporter of electricity, how will the SEC decide whether Northern Pass is a net benefit to New Hampshire? So the part that's addressed to the Site Evaluation Committee here is how will the Site Evaluation Committee decide? They will decide whether there are net benefit. Actually, they don't have to decide whether there's net benefits. That's not part of the statute. If you recall the determinations that I went over in the presentation that the subcommittee must consider, that's how they'll decide whether or not to grant or deny a certificate of site and facility in this particular case. They will go through those determinations and determine whether or not the applicant has demonstrated by a preponderance of the evidence that they meet each of those criteria. One of those criteria is in the public interest. Is it the project in the public interest? And the site evaluation committee itself will consider that. And ultimately, that comes down to an individual determination made by each member of the site evaluation committee based upon the evidence that they hear. And I can't speak for them. So what I can tell you to do, though, is if you look at RSA 162H, Section 16, that lays out the criteria that the site evaluation committee will use and is required by statute to use. Mr. Quinlan, if you wanted to address the rest of this about 10% of the power delivered,
sure,
will come to New Hampshire, 100% of the environmental impacts.
Yeah. So what the question's referring to is a power purchase agreement that exists between Eversource, my company, and our partner Hydro-Québec. Hydro-Québec owns and operates the hydro facilities in Canada that are going to essentially send power south. As I said during the opening, 100% of the power is being delivered here in New Hampshire into the Deerfield substation. There is a power purchase agreement, again, between us and Hydro-Québec for 10% of that power, which means they are contractually obligated to reserve 10% of that power for Eversource New Hampshire customers. The balance of the power, the 90%, to my knowledge, has not been contracted for. So to the extent New Hampshire is interested in procuring more of that power, I'm certain they'll have an opportunity to do so. What we wanted to ensure was that New Hampshire at least received its fair share. So New Hampshire is about 9% of the total load in New England. We've reserved 10 for our customers, so we've gotten more than our fair share. We have the opportunity to procure more if we care to. And probably underlying that question, and maybe more importantly, is the costs of building this transmission project will not be borne by New Hampshire customers. So none of the costs associated with this project, the $1.6 billion that I'm referring to, will be paid for by customers here in New Hampshire, Eversource or otherwise. It'll be paid for by others.
Okay. The next question is to the SEC. Will the SEC be investigating the arsenic potentials from buried transmission lines? Both the state agencies and the SEC will likely engage in an analysis of that, and that is through the various permits that have to be complied with through the Department of Environmental Services. There is a wetlands permit, water quality certification permit, and various permits, environmental permits that the site evaluation, that the Department of Environmental Services will review in the first instance and advise the site evaluation committee on what conditions, if any, should be imposed, or if the project can even go forward under their criteria. The next question for the is also for the site evaluation committee and the company. It's very similar to the last one. The federal draft environmental impact statement says New England ratepayers will see a 1% rate savings if Northern Pass is implemented and two other major projects come online. How will the SEC decide whether this savings justifies the impacts in the draft EIS? That is a determination that will be made by the site evaluation committee after they hear all of the evidence. They will hear the evidence and weigh and consider, as I indicated before, the potential impacts and benefits of the project with respect to all of those various areas. Public welfare, effects on private property, location, economics, all of those issues will be considered as the site evaluation committee determines whether or not to grant a certificate in this particular case. So I can't tell you what they will do, and I can't tell you the exact thinking that each member of the site evaluation committee will engage in, but I can tell you they will follow the statute and consider the matters that are required by the statute. Did you want to address the 1% rate savings?
Because I think we have filed, first of all, we have prepared through our experts, London Economics, an analysis that looks at the cost of electricity in New England without Northern Pass and then with Northern Pass. It's a very traditional way at looking at economic benefits. When they run their analysis, they conclude that there's approximately $800 million a year in energy cost savings for New England. New Hampshire's 9% of New England's load, that's the $80 million figure that we showed earlier. It's based on a very well-established methodology for looking at effects on energy markets. They're one of the leading experts in this field, and I'm sure this will be a topic for discussion at the SEC, but we're very confident in our energy cost savings analyses. And I will say, you know, we talked about the power purchase agreement, which reserves for New Hampshire 10% of the power. There are additional cost savings above and beyond what I was just referring to that will reside here in New Hampshire. So that $800 million is really what happens to the overall market. We're going to see some incremental savings that we haven't included in our numbers right here in New Hampshire because the power will be beneficially priced. So I expect to be able to prove that out very significantly.
The next question is also addressed to the committee, and that is, the federal draft environmental impact statement assumes no other influences on their pricing model, assuming you mean Northern Pass's pricing model, such as smaller generators, wind projects, community solar, et cetera, which would further reduce savings from Northern Pass. Will the site evaluation committee take a broader view when it models future electric rates? Site evaluation committee, as I said, will consider the benefits and impacts on the economics of the project. Will they actually model future electric rates? I don't know. However, they will consider those impacts and the impacts and benefits from this project and what effect it will have on New Hampshire. I guess implicit in here, Mr. Quinlan, is a question as to whether your pricing model takes into account smaller generators, wind projects, community solar, and that by the development of those will reduce savings from Northern Pass. Do you agree with that?
So, any form of generation that is within the, what's referred to as the queue, the ISO New England queue, ISO being the regional system operator. So any form of generation that has been proposed significant enough that where it makes that queue is considered, along with future retirements. So we know recently Pilgrim Nuclear Station in Massachusetts announced its retirement. Vermont Yankee Nuclear Power Station in Vermont has already retired. Brayton Point Coal Plant in Massachusetts has retired. So all of those retirements are factored into the model. Any additions that are significant enough that where they would make the queue are certainly factored into the model. It's a very thorough, comprehensive model that looks at both additions and subtractions.
Okay, the next question is just for the committee. I would like to intervene on behalf of my family as we jointly own property on the right of way. Do I need to file an affidavit to speak on their behalf? Then there's a second question. I would like to speak on behalf of my brother and sister-in-law with regards to Northern Pass impacts on their property. What form do I need in order to facilitate me doing that? In order to file a motion to intervene, you would send a letter to the Site Evaluation Committee, address it to Pamela Monroe, our administrator, and explain to her what rights, titles, substantial interests that you may have. One potential one is what you say here, I own property on the right of way. Explain that in your letter and explain that you would why you would not impair the orderly disposition of the proceedings and file it by
February
5th, 2016, and it will be considered by the Site Evaluation Committee. If you want to speak on behalf of somebody else, you should provide us with some proof, usually something signed by that person, that they, in fact, want you to speak for them. It doesn't have to be a formal affidavit, as far as I know. But also, before you file that, you should also check our new rules, which are on our website, and it's Rule 301.11, which lays out what needs to be in a letter seeking intervention before the committee. So those are the questions that were at least in part addressed to the Site Evaluation Committee.